Prof Strimler, very good afternoon. International relations doesn't usually get any bigger than a superpower summit between the Russians and the Americans. What do you expect of this one?
Well, I can't resist an aside that Dan Mignani was a friend of mine too, and I think that your emphasis on the role of individuals is not misplaced for this conversation as well, because Joe Biden has made his personal ties to other leaders a central piece of his strategy. And this is very high-level strategy that we're talking about, Mike. The elephant in the living room in the villa in Geneva is the China. And what Biden is trying to do is to, from his communique that came out of the G7 summit that Cyril Ramaphosa attended in England, and then the NATO summit in Brussels, was getting together the Western democracies to offer a counterbalance to Russia and to China, although Russia is much more important to the Europeans. And Biden is carrying this forward with his frank discussions with Putin. Now, there are going to be a lot of speculation about the details, but you don't want to lose sight of what the geostrategic game is here. It's three-cornered, and it's disciplined, and it's trying to keep the peace, because there are hot spots on the Russian front that they're worried about in Ukraine, and there are hot spots on the China front that they're worried about in the South China Sea. And they're trying to balance these things. And this conversation with Putin is extremely important on a personal level, but on a global level as well.
Now, I'm intrigued by that. You mentioned China. Now, we all know where America stands on China and China stands on America. The mystery to me is, where does Putin stand on China and where does China stand on Putin?
Well, but that is the million-dollar question, Mike. You're very right about that, because what the West would like under Biden's leadership, and this is what at the heart of his strategy in the G7 and in NATO, was to remind everyone that the West does not need a detente between China and Russia. It was the same thing that motivated Nixon back in the 70s when the U.S. was pulling out of Vietnam with its tail between its legs, that an alliance between China and Russia would not suit the West, but it probably wouldn't suit either power either. That's what Biden is going to be reminding Putin of in implicitly, probably. I don't think there'll be too much explicit talk about it, because they got a big agenda of issues on their own, and Biden comes into this meeting with Putin with the backing of the NATO allies and with the G7 allies, and so he's in a good position to talk through what would be positive sum games in the U.S.-Russian relationship. Strategic arms control is one of them, for example, which the world would benefit from. But the China front is more of greater interest to Africa, because China is so much more active in Africa than is Russia. But the Russian-U.S. meeting is important to this whole equation.
Is it important on any other level? People talk about the fate of Alex Navalny. They talk about Belarus. They talk about Crimea. They talk about interfering with the U.S. elections. All these hot-button issues that have run through Russian-American or Russian-NATO relations for the last decade or so. But presumably nothing much actually happens in the conversation between the two of them. Nothing's going to be shifted, is it, in a personal conversation?
Now that's an interesting question, because I think deliverables are still important, even though the White House has been downplaying any big deals. But I wouldn't be surprised if they would start a process of continuing discussions about arms control, which would be in everybody's interest. Biden is going to want to raise Alexei Navalny's situation, and he should, because as with the Chinese, the abuse of human rights is a matter of concern to South Africa, which is a democracy, and that's why Ramaphosa's presence at the G7 was so important, because the other guests of the G7 were anti-Chinese, India, Australia, and Republic of Korea, as part of the coalition on containing China. But meanwhile, the Russian troublemaking in the world is a concern, as is abuse of human rights within the Russia, and boy, Putin is getting more authoritarian as the years go by because he's worried about a coup or worried about domestic protests because his economy is in difficulty. So he's not the strong man that he appears to be in a real sense back home. He's vulnerable like any autocrat.
John, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for your usual excellent insights. Honorary Prof of International Relations at WITS, Prof John Stremlau. Keep an eye on the news feeds. Keep an eye and ear on EWN for any outcomes of that Biden-Putin summit, the first of its kind, today in Geneva.
EWN Traffic.
The accident on the N1 incoming at the R300, that's been cleared. Traffic lights still faulty in Milnerton at the intersection of Plattekloof and the N7. And there'll be nighttime closures of the Huguenot Tunnel until the 30th of September. It'll be closed from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Mondays to Thursdays. I'm Shalina Roo, more Eyewitness News traffic in 20 minutes.
Cape Talk.
Weather.
Some rain in the forecast tomorrow afternoon, just showers. It's a cloudy day throughout. The needle won't move much. Overnight low of 13, only getting up to 17 degrees. Cloudy in the morning, rain showers in the afternoon. A gentle to moderate northerly, west-northwesterly kind of wind. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all sunny blue skies with highs in the low to mid-20s. So a very pleasant run of weather coming up. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Some more rain in the forecast on Tuesday.
With conversation this hot and happening.
Artificial intelligence can help government improve service delivery. Any kind of intelligence, human or artificial, would be welcome.
You never want to miss a single beat.
My guest today believes it's never too late to start getting more purposeful and strategic about how you plan your finances for the future.
But when life happens, Cape Talk recaps all the biggest conversations from the week, every weekday from midnight.
People are put into a system that chews them up and spits them out and leaves them for worse.
Catch the best of talk only on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
Coming up in the next half hour or so, your chance to win up to 5,000 Rand with Auto and General. For more information and to enter, visit capetalk.co.za now.
Can I earn interest on my business savings? With Absa, I can. Absa Business Evolve accounts offer Liquidity Plus, a savings pocket that I can use for my business savings and earn interest with immediate access to my money whenever I need it. I also get the free cash flow manager, an accounting tool that helps to keep an eye on my daily funds, automate functions such as payroll and much more. The Business Evolve account is a solution that evolves as my business grows.
Move to Absa today and open a Business Evolve account online or on our banking app. We do more so you can. That's African Nacity. Apps is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
Imagine walking alongside the shores of the mother city with a local premium sneaker, and it defines you. What are you waiting for? Head to one of our stores in Canal Walk and get yourself a pair or two and get it customized. Walk your journey with Batu.
Drive with Mike Wills in for John Matham
on Cape Talk.
21 minutes past 4 on this Youth Day public holiday. Very good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining me. Lines open throughout the show, 021-446-0567. SMS's 31567. WhatsApps and voice notes, 072-567-1567. Here is a fascinating story for you connected to the next interview I'm about to do. According to a report in The Guardian, plastic bottles have been converted into vanilla flavoring using genetically engineered bacteria. The first time a valuable chemical has been brewed from waste plastic. This is remarkable. Researchers have already developed mutant enzymes to break down the polyethylene terephthalate polymer used for drinks bottles into basic units. Terephthalic acid, TA. Scientists have now used bugs to convert that TA into vanillin, which is widely used in the food and cosmetics industries and is an important bulk chemical used to make pharmaceuticals, cleaning products and herbicides. Global demand for vanillin is growing. It's exceeding supply from natural vanilla beans. And so this could be a really significant issue. If we can turn plastic into vanilla flavoring artificially, maybe that's just one other way we can start to tackle the appalling problems we are faced with plastic waste. And why I'm talking about that is World Refill Today, as well as being Youth Day here in South Africa. It's World Refill Day. What is it all about? Pavs Pillay joins me now, who is behaviour change practitioner at WWF South Africa. And boy, do we need some behaviour change on plastics. Pavs, a very good afternoon to you. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, but I get very, very depressed when I think about plastic. I must admit, it's one of those issues that weighs on me a bit. So what is World Refill Day?
Absolutely, no, it is a big problem. So World Refill Day is an initiative that started to get people to, instead of buying single use or what we call a problem plastic, one-time use plastics, to actually kind of get rid of them in the system and to reuse your bottles by going in and filling them. So you'll notice there's a few stores now that allow you to bring in your own containers and you can collect your goods in those containers. There's also a few stores that are trying to kind of do a system where it's an exchange system. So you bring in your bottles and then you can, you know, purchase more bottles. The idea is to reduce your plastic consumption. And I think that's the first and most important R. It's not about recycling. It's about reducing our plastic consumption.
And getting rid of single-use plastic, which is the bane of my life. I cannot bear looking at something, drinking it, and then just throwing it away. And that plastic has had one use.
Absolutely. I mean, the average stat that we kind of, you know that you use a single-use plastic anywhere between 0 and 12 minutes, but it lasts within the oceans anywhere between 200 and 400 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so you got to really think hard about single-use plastics.
All right. Now, are we getting anywhere in terms of plastic recycling, which is the second thing? We've talked about reduce, reuse, recycle, and so on. Is recycling a valid thing, or is it a bit of a fig leaf? Does it justify our use when it isn't really effective?
Well, unfortunately, in South Africa, it isn't very effective, and for several reasons. First, and what a lot of South Africans don't know, is that 70% of what you think is going to recycling actually isn't recycled. For various reasons. We've got too many types of plastic, which means that they're not all recyclable. We've also got not enough infrastructure around recycling, so not enough recyclers. And then the last one, which is the worst one of it all, not enough demand for recyclate. So the recyclate is a bit that comes out. And in other words, there's not enough demand with industries, converters, retailers, etc., to take the recyclate and actually make other products of it. And as a result, we actually have a really dismal recycling rate in South Africa, which is actually quite sad because we produce a lot of plastic, we import a lot of plastic, and we use a lot of plastic.
Are the big chains, are the big retail chains doing enough? Are they getting involved in this?
Well, the nice thing is that they've started realizing and recognizing the problem around plastic. So one of the big initiatives is a initiative that WWF South Africa, Green Cape, and the Ellen MacArthur Foundation started, which is called the South African Plastic Pact. And what that is a set of targets that the big retailers, big converters, big brand owners have to sign up to, and then they have to meet those targets. So if I had to give you an example of a target is, by the year 2025, you will have 30% recyclate in all your products. And what it's doing is it's developing roadmaps for these companies to actually address the recycle problem and the plastic problem. Because, you know, very often, Mike, everybody thinks of plastic as a downstream problem. Clean your beaches, recycle, sort. Actually, plastic needs to be changed at an upstream level. So, you know, I always akin it to a very wonderful analogy. If you walked into your house and it was flooded, you don't mop, you close the tap. First.
Yeah, that is very telling. I like that. I'm going to use that. If I can borrow that, I will.
Absolutely.
Are we getting laws? I've got a WhatsApp saying, isn't there a new law regarding manufacture of plastic bags? We are getting some regulations around plastic produce, aren't we?
Absolutely. There is some legislation, but I must admit, enforcement needs to be better. So the laws that people are talking about are the fact that we're moving towards actually having a bag that can be recycled. A lot of our plastic bags cannot be recycled. A lot of the big retailers are actually moving completely away from plastic bags.
Yeah, they are. They're starting to do good moves on that.
Exactly. Yeah. And very recently we had something called an extender producer policy. So in other words, you pay for what happens to your plastic post-consumer. It's called Extended Producer Responsibility Framework, which the government has just put out for comment and hopefully put that policy in. So your big companies that use a lot of plastic have to now pay for that use of that plastic post the consumer's use.
Now, I think we need to emphasize here, we're not discouraging people from recycling. We're not discouraging you from doing the beach and the river cleanups. We do want that still to happen. What we're saying is don't think that's enough, that there's much more to be done beyond that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, because the plastic problem is so big already, I mean, I think this is one of the scariest stats you spoke earlier about, terrified. I mean, 8 million metric tons of plastic go into the ocean a year. And very often when I speak to school kids, they can't kind of fathom what that number is. That's one dump truck of plastic per minute emptying into the oceans. So we know we have this big problem. So yes, definitely, we still need the beach cleanups. We need the river cleanups. We need people not to litter. South Africans have a really bad reputation for littering, especially chip packets, straws, cigarette butts. Cigarette butts are a huge problem. People don't realize they actually have plastic content in them. So while we're doing that, those what we call end of pipeline activities, we still need to close the tap further up so that we're not always cleaning beaches. I mean, I'd like to get to a stage in our lives where we don't have to clean beaches because our plastic is sitting within what we call a circular system. And, you know, what's important for people to understand is that plastic is that one material that can stay in a system for a long time, repurposed, redesigned, reused. You know, it doesn't lose its integrity if it's remade into a crate or a box or a plant or something else. And that's the ingenious thing about plastic is its durability.
Perhaps, thank you very much, Ajit. I really do appreciate you've put that extremely well. Behaviour Change Practitioner at WWF South Africa, Pabst Pillay, talking about World Refill Day, which is focusing on refilling and reusing. Just get away from the single-use stuff. Get a plastic bottle or another kind of bottle, a glass bottle if you like. Take it back and fill it up rather than throw it away and get another one. Just stop the single-use plastic, which is the bane of our lives at the moment.